I'm Nicolette Thomas, and this is my podcast, Watching with Friends. Every week, we watch and discuss a show or movie, and I invite a friend or two to join in. First off, I want to say a thank you so much for sticking with us through a summer hiatus. It was very much needed and appreciated, and we're so happy to be back. Today, Sarah and I will be discussing the 2009 Disney Channel original movie, Princess Protection Program. Princess Rosalinda Marie Montoya Fiore is about to be crowned queen in a small nation called Costa Luna. General Magnus Kane, the dictator of a neighboring country, Costa Estrella, invades her palace with his agents during her coronation rehearsal and attempts to capture the royal family and take over the country. Major Joe Mason, an agent of the Princess Protection Program, or PPP, a secret organization funded by royal families that looks after endangered princesses, whisk her away to safety via helicopter. Kane's agents, however, succeed in capturing her widowed mother, Queen Sofia Fiore of Costa Luna. The Princess Protection Program hides Rosalinda in Joe's home in Lake Monroe, Louisiana, where she meets his teenage daughter, Carter. Carter is an insecure tomboy who works at the family bait shop and dreams of going to the homecoming dance with her crush, Donnie, although her classmate, Ed, secretly has a crush on her. Rosalinda poses as Rosie Gonzalez, Carter's cousin from Iowa. Though Carter initially treats her with hostility, she warms up to her after Rosie explains her situation, and the two become best friends. Carter teaches Rosie to act like the average American teenager, and Rosie shows Carter how to disarm those that scorn them, especially resident mean girls Chelsea Barnes and Brooke Angels. Rosie soon becomes popular at their high school. In an attempt to trick Rosalinda into exposing her location, General Kane announces plans to forcibly marry her mother. Brooke discovers the truth about Rosie and threatens to expose her unless Rosie drops out of the vote for homecoming queen. Rosie reads the pending nuptials in a magazine and tells Carter that she has decided to return home. Knowing Costa Luna is still too dangerous, Carter secretly devises a plan to pose as Rosalinda and use herself as bait to lure Kane into capture. Carter calls Mr. Elegante, Rosalinda's royal dressmaker and friend, for help with her plan. He tells Kane that Rosalinda will be attending the homecoming dance and plans to wear Caribbean blue. He actually sends the blue dress to Carter and gives Rosie a pale pink one. In the meantime, Rosie agrees to stay for the dance. In order to help make the event special, a group of friends, including Rosie and Carter, wear masks to the dance, helping Carter to disguise herself as Rosalinda. According to plan, Kane and his agents mistake Carter for Rosalinda and lead her to Kane's helicopter. However, after winning the homecoming queen title despite Chelsea and Brooke's efforts, Rosie discovers and ruins the plan by exposing herself to Kane, insisting to Carter that it is not her fight. Luckily, agents of the Princess Protection Program, including Major Mason, have been waiting inside the helicopter and rescue both girls. The PPP agents quickly apprehend Kane and his henchmen and turn them over to the international authorities. Rosie is crowned Queen Rosalinda of Costa Luna with Carter, Joe, Ed, Sophia, and Mr. Elegante in attendance. After this brief break, we will be back to discuss the movie with Sarah.
No, love, hey, love, no. before I actually insert the discussion that Sarah and I had, I do need to bring up the fact that this was originally recorded about a week and a half before Demi Lovato came out as non-binary. So we were having this discussion using the pronouns she, her, and we tried to set up a time where we could re-record the episode, but it just never panned out. So please know that we do respect their pronouns, that we will in the future for other movies that Demi has been in, we'll be using they, them pronouns. But in this instance, we were not aware, and we do apologize if this does offend anybody. But if we had tried to re-record at this point, it's so far removed from when we originally had the conversation and our genuine thoughts on the movie that we would rather just have this disclaimer than actually try and fix something and have our opinions on the rest of the movie be kind of disingenuous. So we do respect Demi, and we really hope that they have a wonderful life and a wonderful career and that they are happy with themselves at this point. But I did want to just put that in before I actually put in the discussion. Okay, so Princess Protection Program. Mm-hmm. I'll be honest, I literally just watched it.
For the first time?
No, I haven't seen it though in years.
I was going to say, I haven't seen it. I mean, it came out in 2009. I watched the premiere with my sister.
Same.
I was 19. Yeah.
Yeah, it happens.
Yeah, we were 19.
Yep.
Yeah? Holy crap.
Can you believe it?
Ugh.
It's that old. It's 10 years old. 11 years old. 12 years old.
It's 12.
Wow. It's almost a teenager.
Yep. What'd you think of it?
So, I mean, it's fine. It's not.
It's fine.
It's a very basic story in comparison to some of the others that we've watched already.
Yeah. There's really not much, hidden meaning or, I mean, I can't even remember, what was there, a learned, I don't know how I want to say it. What the hell am I trying to say?
The lesson?
Yeah, there you go. It's been a long fucking work week. I'm sorry. a lesson that I'm trying to think is,
just pretty much be confident in yourself. I think that's just it. And
yeah,
I mean, it's fine, but I mean, there's other movies, especially other DCOMs,
yeah,
that I think did that lesson with more of a punch,
right?
And this was just, we have Demi and we have Selena, and they're two of our biggest stars. We're going to give them this really cutesy movie and they're going to have, it's going to be a good movie for us. And it was.
Right. It was good, but it could have been better. It was one of those movies that, it was good how they did it, but it didn't need to be done. If that makes sense. I could have done without this movie.
Yeah. It's a very surface movie. And I mean, it could have gone and I don't know, maybe if this is my adult version of brain or if this I've always felt this way, but the things I was interested in were just glossed over.
Yeah. Also too, I feel that's also the purpose of what we're doing here is to rewatch all these movies and see as an adult how different, well, at least I'm taking it as how they affect us differently than when we watch them for the first time, the 13th year, which we haven't watched yet, but how that will affect us. That movie scared the crap out of me. But anyway, The Luck of the Irish, how that affected us more now watching it than when we watched it when we were younger, only because of we've grown up, we've learned different things, and we see the world differently than we did when we were younger. So, like, I think that's, like, kind of at least what I'm taking this whole podcast as, like, mm-hmm. rewatching stuff, seeing how I feel about it as a as an adult, as opposed to when it came out. But, you know, I feel the same way. It was kind of like a lot of things that could have been more played upon were glossed over. But again, it was like a cutesy movie, like two best friends, because Demi Lovato and Selena Gomez are best friends in real life.
Were
best friends. When this movie came out, they were best friends in real life. So it was like, they kind of, it was almost like two best friends doing a movie together.
Yeah.
Like a fluff piece.
Because at the same time, like this, we haven't even gotten into the movie itself yet, but this was the time where Miley Cyrus and her background dancer, it was like the two of them mm-hmm. versus
these two.
Yeah. And
they were always, yeah.
Like that was what was going on in like the young Hollywood thing.
And well, because also at this time, you not only had Hannah Montana, which was Miley Cyrus competing with Wizards of Waverly Place, which was Selena Gomez, which was also throwing this out there because it was at the same time with Sunny with a Chance.
Yeah, and Camp Rock had been summer's biggest hit.
Right. So it was kind of like Hannah Montana was still fighting with Camp Rock and the Jonas Brothers and Demi Lovato. And on top of that, with Demi Lovato, you're getting Selena Gomez and all her fans. Like it was a very like stressful couple of years.
And I'm also going to throw this in there because this all had to also kind of do with Nick Jonas.
I was just going to say, because wasn't Miley and Nick dating at this time?
Miley, Nick, and Selena, and it was that weird,
like, yeah,
who was he with kind of deal. Yeah.
He kept going back and forth, yeah. Although Miley was crazy, so like,
no, I don't think she was crazy.
Not at that time. Now she's a little off her.
I don't even think she's crazy now. I think that it's just Hollywood.
Oh yeah, it's the Hollywood child syndrome. It's like everyone who grows up in Hollywood always has like that one thing. Like the kid from Home Alone, he was like, whew, he went off the deep end bad. Britney Spears had her issue. You know, it all seems like if you grew up,
it's all press created too.
Oh yeah, it's
background like puppet string pulling, and it's right. The press.
Because especially because then as you grow up, you're never as cute as you were. You're not as good enough. You're not, you know, you're getting older. So a lot of it has to do with the way you look and all that.
Okay. So now that we've kind of gone on to what was going on during that time, let's talk about the movie.
Yes.
So it starts off with Carter, played by Selena Gomez, and her dad. Mm-hmm. And they own a bait shop in Louisiana, and she has a crush on the popular boy Donnie.
Mm-hmm.
And Donnie is friends with the mean girl in school.
Does it say her name? I can't remember her name. Chelsea?
I can't remember the character's name. I just know it's the chick who ended up playing Mulan on Once Upon a Time. And I hated seeing her being the mean girl because I love her on Once Upon a Time.
Yeah, she was in something else too. Oh, well, she was in Real World San Diego. That makes sense. But yeah, yes. She was.
So it was kind of weird for me seeing her in this role, but I think she did fantastic playing this mean girl. I quite enjoyed it. And we'll get into that a little later at the end because I think that was fantastic.
There was another mean girl too.
Brooke? Yes, but she was the main one.
Yeah.
And then she had a sidekick.
Uh-huh, like always.
Yeah, so first we see them, and then we find out that Carter's dad is some type of secret agent, mm-hmm. part of the Princess Protection Program.
PPP.
Or PPP, which now makes me think of the Paycheck Protection Program.
Yep.
Because that's literally all I do now. Was talking to people. Oh, no, you just talk to this person if you want that loan. If you have any questions on that loan, that's who you talk to.
Right.
he ends up getting called into this little island country called Costa Luna. And he saves, I forget what her title is as a princess, but Rosie, played by Demi Lovato.
Oh, here it is. I just looked up Princess Rosalinda Maria Montoya Fierro for whatever. She's about to be crowned as a queen.
Yes. She's 16. And so she's, of course, petrified because her country's going through a hostile takeover. And I kind of love this idea that there is this princess protection agency. I was just like, it's so ridiculous. And like, they're going through makeovers. And like, I get it. It's witness protection. But I just thought it was really funny. Like that whole montage.
Yeah.
It did introduce me, reintroduce me to some of the styles I remember wearing back then. Those really long, like skinny tank tops and the Chuck Taylors.
All that. Well, oh, Chuck Taylors are coming back too.
It's been that long that that style's coming back in style. And I'm just like, oh, I'm old.
It's so bad. It's okay though. I mean, I feel like they've always been in.
I stopped caring once I hit a certain age. Like, I'm just gonna wear what I like.
Yeah, it's then that's all it is. It's
at that point, what did you think? I mean, because then she's in witness protection, so Carter's dad takes her in, and so you have the meeting of these two people who are complete opposites. Carter is very tomboyish. She's a get down and dirty type of girl. Definitely the one I related to more.
Yeah.
And then you have Rosie, who is just proper and good. And like, I like that they didn't make her a vapid person.
Right. She's very like down to earth. And
for like, for being someone who is entitled, when she says things, she doesn't mean them to be cutting. Like, she just
she just doesn't know.
She has a disconnect.
Yeah.
Which I think is really good. I don't know if I would have cast Demi Lovato as the princess.
Yeah, see, I'm the same. I don't know. I think there could have been a different princess, like a different
stronger. Like, she did a fine job, but I just, there's just always something like off with that, because like, you think of the role she played, like, she is Michi Torres, like, I don't care what she does in the future, like, I feel like Michi and her just vibed really well. Like, it just, like, clearly, like, if I think Demi Lovato, I think Michi Torres. Same with Sunny with a Chance. Yeah. Like, they're very just down-home, fun, like, real characters. Whereas this one, I just, I don't know. There's just a disconnect. And I don't know if it was the writing or the acting, the casting. Like, I don't know why I could not believe that she was actually a princess.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Like, if they had made it any other type of thing where it was witness protection, it'd be a fine movie.
Right.
But there was just, I don't know.
And I, like you said, I think it's the actress too. I think it, I don't know. It's such a hard, because it's just like a blah movie. Like, I could live without it. I could, you know, like,
yeah. And I mean, I was really excited to watch this one again because I remembered enjoying it.
Yeah.
And I have to say, in comparison, I think that Selena Gomez did such a good job playing Carter. Like, I felt her, like, anytime like something happened and I was just like, oh girl, I'm like here with you, I feel it. Like, I didn't have that connection with the Rosie character.
Yeah, No, I know what you're saying. You're just like, but I also think maybe that was like, in a way, what they might have been going for, where like, see, like, it's hard. I don't know. It's like, you kind of wanted to be.
I'm listening. I've just got to.
No, it's okay. It's kind of like you wanted to be involved, but I also think that like they wanted, it's like a disconnect. I don't know. It's hard to explain because like it's almost like they want you to relate to Carter and be like, but get like, you know, it's like, I don't know.
So I, like, if you're going to have two of your three biggest stars, mm-hmm. because like we said, it was Selena Gomez, Demi Lovato, and Miley Cyrus. Mm-hmm. So you have two of the three of them that you have exclusive contracts with. You'd want to make both characters relatable. And I don't think that Rosie was relatable.
Right. No, and I agree. It's like, and I think that might have been where the whole feeling of this movie came to, was like, you couldn't relate as much as you could with, like, not that it was easy to relate with Hannah Montana, because like, how can you relate to a teenage girl who's being just a normal teenage girl plus having a mega stardom career? But like, you could almost relate more to her family-wise, and you know,
yeah, like having the issues with your brother and right, your dad,
right, and your friends and school, right. And you could relate to that. But it was like this movie just like so far-fetched, and so it was almost kind of like they're just trying to keep up pace with the whole Hannah Montana, Selena Gomez, all that, like, all just, yeah, trying to,
like, they just picked a script that could have two of them in it and was just like, okay, go.
Yeah, it's like,
we're gonna make money off it anyway, like,
yeah, like they didn't even really think about it, like some of these movies where it's like, you know, you can think about it, and like, you could tell that there's more thought put into some of these movies, where like you said, this one was just kind of like, they had to kind of like build off of Camp Rock and all that while trying to keep ahead of Hannah Montana, who was growing because Miley Cyrus was Hannah Montana. Like, because I remember taking my sister to see Hannah Montana, yeah, not Miley Cyrus. So it was kind of like she had that going for her too. And like you said, it was just kind of like, you know, they played off of that, where it was like, just here, this seems like it will work, go.
Yeah. So like, I never felt bad for Rosie.
Uh-huh.
Like, even when, so like the bowling scene annoyed, yep, the heck out of me. I was totally Team Carter there. Mm-hmm. And like, not to put these two characters against each other, but like, I relate to that. Like,
right.
You want to go have fun, and then all of a sudden you're just completely ostracized because of popularity. And you're just like, really?
Yeah. Really?
This is what's happening. And you're not noticing that I'm not there anymore. And I'm over it.
Yeah. It's like, come on. Let's get, yeah. It's, I don't know. This movie could have been done differently, I think.
But I didn't even feel bad with like the frozen yogurt shop.
Yeah. No,
like that whole thing, I was just like, and then she's just like, yeah, no, but like princesses don't retaliate. And I was just like, I, yeah, get it. Do. You just want to escape. Like, I've been that, right, and I can relate to you there. But oh, like the sweet satisfaction when she just crushes the ice cream cone on that kid's head.
Yeah.
You could, I'm like, Selena,
you could queen. Feel that. You're just like,
yeah,
but yeah, like, but again, I think this movie was kind of like, you couldn't relate as much, so it was harder to like accept in a way. Like, it was harder to find things that you could jive with because you just couldn't with this movie. Like, you couldn't connect, you couldn't do anything to it.
Yeah.
But,
and like, both of them, I should be able to relate at least somewhat to these characters because they're both being raised by single parents.
Right.
So we don't know what happened with Carter's mom. Mm-hmm. We just know that things haven't been the same for a while. Like, they order takeout every night. There's things like that.
Right.
And then Rosie, her father died. She's mm-hmm. inheriting the crown. Like, yeah, that's what's going on with her.
Which also, who can really relate to that as a normal yeah. person? So, like,
but I, again, like, I could relate to the Carter relationship mm-hmm. of, oh, hey, we have to take care of each other.
Right, because we're all we got. Versus
the other. And it's just like, if that's going to be the central plot that's going to drag this other character to be like, no, I have to leave and face the consequences. I yeah. need to feel that relationship. And unfortunately, I didn't feel that between the mother and the daughter in the time that we were given.
Right. And it's like you said, it just wasn't. And I know it's supposed to be like far-fetched in the princess, but like, it wasn't, like you said, you couldn't find anything you related to. I mean, obviously Carter, there's some more, it's better, but again, it's like, can you really relate to it? Like,
I could a little bit. Well, my mom tends to put herself into some situations where I'm just like, really?
Well, yeah, no.
Really? But, like
that is, but like, still, like, are you ever, you know, it's just hard to, this whole movie's just hard. It's just hard.
Yeah. So that brings me to the complete espionage of the end. Because you've got not only like the popular girl who wants to just be homecoming queen. Mm-hmm. She doesn't care about anything else. She just wants to be homecoming queen.
Yep.
She pretty much assists in global espionage to destroy a country. If you think about it, I mean, that's some federal, it's not even, it's international issues. Like,
yeah.
Girl, if you're a senior in high school, your ass might be going to jail for that.
Right? Especially over 18.
Yeah, like, they're like, supposed to be their senior year. And mm-hmm. I'm just like, oh my God.
It's crazy.
Though I don't understand senior year at 16. Some of them are seniors. Some yeah. of them are seniors.
Yeah.
Some of them do say, like, it's my senior year. And I'm just like, okay, calm down. Calm down.
It's like, all right, come on.
But no, because, like, even Donnie, he's just like, Donnie is supposed to be the same age, but he's in his, I'm so confused by the writing of this movie.
Right, and that's the other thing because that makes it hard. Because
they're 16. How are they in their senior year?
Right, unless they're, like, some smart people. Like,
did everybody just skip a grade?
Yeah. I don't know.
Writers, I need some clarification here.
Yeah, a lot of clarification.
But that brings me to the costumes, because the costumes play a huge part in the ending of this.
Uh-huh.
Because while Carter's coming up with this crazy scheme on pretty much getting herself kidnapped rather than having Rosie get kidnapped, gets the royal dresser to make them dresses to specifically say it has to be Caribbean blue so that we know that she is the one who's going to be taken.
Right.
I preferred their thrift shop dresses to the actual dresses that this royal dressmaker made.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And definitely. That goes through most of these, like, gownish clothes that they had for this movie. And I get it, it's Disney.
Mm-hmm.
But you think you would put a proper, somewhat petticoat under that ball gown? Because all I could see was hoop.
Yeah.
Like, it was see-through and hoop. And I'm just like,
yeah, you're like, come on.
You just went to Party City and got Halloween costumes, didn't you? Like,
pretty much.
I don't know. It's one of those things where I'm just like, especially if you've got two of the biggest names you've got.
Yeah, it's...
I mean, the regular clothing, I would wear every single one of those outfits. I'm pretty sure I had parts of each of those outfits at some point.
Yeah.
In my wardrobe in 2008, 2009.
Right. But again, that goes to grasping in a way, like, again, Carter's more supposed to be like us, but it's still like, how, I don't, like you said, it's just, this movie's hard. It's just difficult. It's hard to relate. It's hard to talk about, because like, the writing is, I don't want to say terrible, but it's like, doesn't make sense. It's just blah.
It just, I think it needed more development.
Yeah, definitely.
And I think they were just trying to, like we said, push out their biggest stars.
Right. And again, compete with everything that was going on at the time to try and stay relevant.
Definitely.
So
yeah. I mean, I think this had really good ratings too. Like, it like had a its opening weekend. I'm gonna pull that up. So it generated 8.5 million viewers at its premiere weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Which was nearly double anything else at those time slots.
Because they played at the normal time, right? 8 o'clock?
It was usually 8 o'clock, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah, so it was like...
And you know, it won the Choice Summer TV Movie.
Really?
The Choice Summer TV Star from the Teen Choice Awards. That was for Selena Gomez. Mm-hmm. And Demi Lovato had also been nominated.
Well, I also think, too, that...
Outstanding Directorial Achievement in Children's Programming from the Directors Guild of America.
Ugh.
And also Best TV... two nominations for Best TV Performance in a TV Movie, Miniseries, or Special for Leading Actress for both Demi Lovato and Selena Gomez, which they did not win.
I mean... I can't... See, I don't. Yeah, it's like, but again, it was also like the heavy hitters now. Like, I don't know. It was all over the place. This movie, I can't believe they won that many awards.
I mean, but they weren't like TV Emmys, because the Descendants won for TV Emmys. So, yeah, like, in comparison, makes sense.
Yeah, definitely.
When you put it like that. But I mean, Teen Choice Awards makes sense. It's the demographic they're going after.
Yeah. So, that's the thing too. It was like the Nickelodeon Choice Awards, where it was like, you look back now and you're like, really? Really?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, I totally forgot to mention this, because I hate like open-ended things when it comes to love triangles.
Mm-hmm.
And so Rosie shoots down Donnie, because Donnie, though Carter has the crush on him, likes Rosie. And Rosie's just like, nah, my friend likes you. Nah. And I'm just okay, girl. Like, okay, I see you. Okay. Yeah, you're a good friend.
I see you.
That's awesome. Because Lord knows that didn't happen when I was younger.
Nope.
But so I did respect Rosie for that. Then Donnie, he just goes after Carter in the end because she's in a pretty dress. And I'm just like,
dude. I know.
And that, but I love that Rosie is always bringing up how Ed likes Carter. And she's like, but Ed's a nice guy. And he's kind of cute. And just go for him. He likes you. And we don't get to know what happened. We just see them at her coronation. And I'm just like, I need answers. And I have to say, the second I saw him, Ed is played by the kid from Sky High. The glow stick kid. He plays these roles and things, and I'm just like, it's the kid from Sky High every time.
He's like in everything, but it's like he's not such a big person where it's like,
yeah. I've never like not liked him in a movie. Like even when he's playing a dick, because he plays a good asshole.
Oh yeah,
because he's the abusive boyfriend of the older sister in Perks of Being a Wallflower.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, like he plays a whole bunch of different types of roles, but like he will always just be the glow stick kid from Sky High to me.
Sky High, yeah.
Like, cause Sky High was the shit, and I'm so mad. We're going to have to do an episode on that because that was supposed to be a series of movies. It was supposed to launch a series. And like the original writer and directors have like talked about it and like where they saw it going. And I was like, yes, I'm here for where that was going. Why didn't it happen?
Right.
But
because it was only one movie, right?
Yeah. Unfortunately,
it wasn't a DCOM, was it? I feel like
it's an actual theatrical release because my cousin and I went to see it in theaters.
I was gonna say I have the DVD because, like, I'm a child and have tons of DVDs. Some weird like that who likes movies and have tons of DVDs. Oh God, yeah, but I loved Sky High.
Were you there? Was it just band or did Chorus get to go too, to the Six Flags trips?
Oh, yeah, we got to go. Chorus, so, I remember at the rest stop. I know what you're talking about. I was there. I think I walked right by him and didn't even, like, notice. And then
Allie grabbed me and was just like, girl, it's him. And I was like, what? Because I was oblivious to it, too.
Huge. He's, like,
he's tall. So tall. So,
like, I think I walked
by. We gotta explain this story because our listeners won't understand.
They're like, so, oh my God, they lost their mind.
So, we were going on a school trip for band and chorus to Six Flags.
Because, you know, we were awesome. And choir and band, you know.
Like, yeah. Like,
why not?
The band geeks and the chorus kids get to, like, go on a school field trip.
We went play to a song Disney.
At the park opening. And then to spend the day running around Six Flags instead of going to math. Like, okay. Yeah.
Like, we also used to go for a week every 2 years, go to Disney for a week and, like, do a whole bunch of competitions, but, like, literally for 2 days and then the rest of the week just be in Disney.
Yeah.
But anyway.
But we went to, like, the biggest rest stop along the way. You knew every time we took this trip, we were going to this rest stop. It had the McDonald's. The rest stop. It had the convenience store and it had, like, 30 bathrooms.
Yeah, which is perfect for band of chorus because we need.
We took like four Viking buses.
Yeah. Packed. Not even like a seat packed.
Yeah, they like every seat was full.
Yeah.
But we're leaving the rest stop and well, lo and behold, oh God, what's his name? I've got it pulled up. What's his name? Nicholas Braun, who plays Ed in this, but played Ethan in Sky High, was there. And all of us were just like, oh my God. Because this was it senior year?
Junior, we went to Disney. So it was either.
No, because we went to Six Flags every year.
Not unless it was a Disney trip.
No, we went to really? Six Flags every year.
Oh, so maybe it was senior year.
I think it was senior year.
It's either junior or senior year because we were older.
Yeah. So we were either seniors or juniors. Mm-hmm. So this was either 2008 or 2007.
Yep.
So he was quite big in Disney at that time. He was playing all these minor roles, really making a name for himself. And
what'd you say his name was? Nicholas Braun. Yes.
Yes.
Yes, I remember him.
But and like our entire so this poor guy, he's just like just trying to get some McDonald's, and we're all just like four fans full of band and chorus kids freaking out.
Gawking. Gawking. Oh my God. Embarrassingly gawking. But so worth it. And he's actually really tall. He's over 6 feet. I wonder if it says it here.
I know. I'm like, let's look it up. Oh, he's on. Shit. I forgot he was on Succession.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I watched that. It's HBO.
I remember him watching him in 10 Things I Hate About You, the TV series on ABC Family. That was a good show. Movie was better, obviously. Rest in peace, Heath. But
he's not that much older than us.
33. He's 2 years older than us. So like,
oh my God. And Sky High was his first film.
Really? No, he was in Minutemen. Oh no, Sky High. 2005 Sky High came out. Yeah, it was.
Was he? I'm not that far down yet.
Ron then had roles in the Disney Channel original movie Minutemen in 2008 and Princess Protection Program.
Oh, I don't have Minutemen on this.
Are you on Wiki?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm on Wiki under his career.
Because they have it under television, not under film. That's why.
Oh, you're looking at the filmography. Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm looking under the first career where it says Sky High, Minutemen, then Princess Protection.
But yeah, I mean... He's not that much older than us, so he must have been like, oh, fuck.
I know. It was like, and I mean, it was bad. It was a lot of band kids, like a lot of band kids.
There was 150 of us at that time in band alone.
Yes, and then probably another 30 to 40 of us in choir.
So we're like 200 kids all gawking at this poor guy.
Because some schools are sports schools. We are music school. It was like it was either music or sports, and most of it was sports. Music.
So it was kind of funny because sometimes at halftime you would see like the cheerleaders in their uniform doing the halftime show.
Yeah.
After they just did the cheering part of it.
In the band. And then it was even funnier when they had to choose when you guys did the, when the band the football games did the call and response with the cheerleaders and how they had to choose whether they want to be part of the band or part of the cheerleaders. It was funny to watch,
So final thoughts on Princess Protection Program.
I could do without. It was just one of those blasé movies. Like,
I don't even know what I want to rate it. Like,
yeah, that's one of those things. Like, I might just even rate it a 5 just because, like,
it's... Yeah, I mean, it does sit right there because that's where I put Wizards of Waverly Place, the movie.
Yeah, because, I mean, it is a good... If you don't look into anything that we discuss, like, if you just watch it to watch the movie, it is a pretty decent movie. However, it's not
one that I'm gonna reach for.
Right. It's not one of those ones where you're sitting at home like rewatching a movie, like, I don't know, say The Kissing Booth that I watched literally 17 times in a row last week because I was bored out of my mind. And there was really nothing good on Netflix. But anyway, but it's not one of those ones that like comes to mind like Luck of the Irish or Smart House, or like it's not one of those like ones that like you could watch again and be like, oh yeah, Xenon was on TV the other night. What did I do? Watch it. the first one, and I was okay with watching it as a 31-year-old woman. I watched Xenon Girl of the 21st Century. But, like, if
Can we talk about how that movie supposedly takes place in 20 years?
From now?
Yep.
Really?
It takes place 2041, in 2040. It does.
That's only 9 years from now. Just saying. Anyway.
I'm just saying, like, no, if we're going to be living on space stations in 10 years.
I might just stay on Earth. I might be her cool aunt, just live on Earth. Be afraid of space. But yeah, it was like one of those movies that, like, if it was played on Disney Channel, I think I would just skip over Disney Channel and be like, nah.
Yeah, I'd probably see if there was something better on first, and if there really wasn't.
Yeah, if it was one of those things where, like, The Office was a rerun, obviously The Office is a rerun, but, like, if, like, all the shows I wanted to watch were already on reruns and I've already seen the reruns a bunch of times and you're like, there's nothing really else on. Just like a background thing where I could, like, be on the internet or doing something else. It's not one of those ones where it's like, I'm going to actually, like, sit, watch, and focus on.
Yeah. And I mean, I agree. I'm going to give it 5 as well. And I have to say, I really enjoyed Selena Gomez's acting in this.
Yes. Oh, I agree with that.
She was fantastic in this.
I think
between the two of them.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, she definitely stole the show.
Definitely. And it was but also too, it was like, I never really liked, even like, Sunny with a Chance.
I love Sunny with a Chance.
I liked it too. I do. I really like that show. But I think that's where Demi Lovato shined the most. Like, I find that, like, even in Camp Rock, she wasn't that strong of an actress. So you're kind of like, I always found myself.
But she's got the voice. So that kind of carries in Camp Rock.
I mean, she's got the voice, but it's like acting wise without the singing. Just like, you're kind of like,
I think it depends. Like, I liked first movie Mitchie.
Mm-hmm.
Then you get into Camp Rock 2, and I'm just like, oh, like, I totally see where Joe Jonas's character is coming from. Like,
yeah,
girl, just like, calm your tits. You're a 17, 18-year-old girl. You're not running a fucking camp. Like,
right. Like, well, just the fact that you could, like, rub elbows in a camp like that, like, over it. But yeah, no, it's one, like, again, it's one of those movies that, like, I wouldn't reach for, but, like, yeah, I could live with it, I could live without it. It's right there. It's nothing, like, not the first movie that would come to mind if, you know, we were, like, listing off all the Disney movies.
Yeah, I think it just felt like at least 10 spots for me, and I don't even know, like, what's gonna go ahead of it.
Yeah, but
when we do our final rankings, when we finish the DCOMs
in 3 years
eventually,
yeah,
which hopefully we can do.
I know, right?
There's so many.
I know, it's like you don't realize it until the end, but it's like one of those things that just feels forced, like, with everything, like, going on with between the three of them, it just seemed like it was a forced movie. Like, like, the first movie that came across everybody's desk that's, like, two people who become friends are just like, all right, cool, let's, like, make it work.
I forgot to talk about one thing.
Oh, boy, what?
Probably the most successful part of this movie, the music single that came out from this movie. One and the Same.
Oh, yep.
Sung by Demi Lovato and Selena Gomez.
Together. That was, like, the duet of the year.
That song did really well.
I think it almost made it to number one, if I remember. It might not have. I think it broke the top 10 at least.
And I mean, I remember that song word for word. Because I did really like it.
Yeah, it was a good song. Like, now that you say it, like, I totally forgot about the song.
Because we're, like, one and the same.
Yeah, that was, like, the
where it ended in the charts, but I remember it was played on Disney Channel quite a lot.
Yeah, it was always like one of those like commercial breaks where they played it all the time. Yeah, it was popular.
I mean, that's probably one of the best things Disney has going for it. Is the fact that their only advertisements are for Disney products.
Right.
Their commercial breaks are for their other shows and will have music videos like between shows.
Right. And that's that. It's, yeah.
Like it kept everything in-house. Like, and
it was more of a channel for kids where they're not going to care about allergy medicine or.
Well, like, I mean, you look at go to Nickelodeon where you've got all those infomercials for all these stupid things.
Yeah.
And kids are just like, yes, I want it. I want it. I want
that. Yeah. It was like, like a baby bottle pop. I remember that was like a heavy hitter on Nickelodeon was baby bottle pop.
Yes. But, and it, I get that Nickelodeon makes a lot of money based off those advertisements.
Right.
Universal makes a lot of money based off those advertisements.
Yeah, right. And Disney's just a powerhouse in itself.
Right. Like, that they can just play their own shit.
Yeah. But also too, there's always, and I think there is still this running thing comparing Nickelodeon to Disney where like Disney was more like innocent and they rarely even kissed, but like,
and, well, and that's the
Nickelodeon was the always clause, like kissing, yeah. And in the shows, like, you always had like a couple that would like not like make out like adults would, but like they'd still kiss and stuff. But like Disney, like, it was very like,
what do you do if two characters kissed on Disney Channel?
Right, you're just like, oh my god, they touched lips, because usually they would like barely hold hands or like hug on Disney Channel. You like wouldn't even know they were in a relationship unless they had said it in the show. But I was like, but Nickelodeon was like the rogue, like I almost want to say like the redheaded stepchild in a way where it's like they were always like,
no you want to know who the no so Disney is the apple pie, like Doris Day blonde child.
Oh yeah.
Nickelodeon was like, oh, I don't even know, but like similar but different enough,
right, where it was kind of like,
and the then Cartoon sister. Network was the redheaded stepchild,
or ABC Family.
ABC Family was kind of the transition channel from Disney to adult. So that was your older teenagers, I think.
Yeah.
But like, they would either watch ABC Family or they would watch CW.
Yes. CW is my jam. It still is.
I mean.
Yeah. Oh, so weird.
But yeah, that is our final thoughts on Princess Protection Program.
No, yeah, so I'm definitely 5 stars. It's not going to go any higher than 5, but I wouldn't put it lower than 5 either. It's like,
yeah, again, I don't hate it,
but it's not like, I don't
love it. It's just middle of the road.
Jonathan Taylor Thomas, just saying.
I wish JTT was in a damn DCOM.
I was watching Veronica Mars again, and Jonathan Taylor Thomas, like a grown up.
I don't care what age he is.
I was watching it. I'm like, oh my god, it's Jonathan Taylor Thomas. Oh, he was a bad boy too. He was like a bad boy FBI agent. It was so cute.
So I, of course, obsessively watched The Masked Singer.
Yep.
Love The Masked Singer. I've been saying pretty much since the second performance of the Russian Dolls that it was Hanson. It was motherfucking Hanson. And my mom wasn't here for me to gloat to, because I've been like, it's Hanson. She goes, but there's only two of them. I go, there's two of them inside the big one. It's Hanson. Oh,
yeah. Hanson. They're one.
Bitch, don't tell me I don't know my Hanson.
They were only, unless you were like a hardcore Hanson fan, there was only one song everybody knew, and it was Mbop. And it had literally, that was like the only word to the song.
I love Hanson. Hey, no, 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 no,
All right, so that was our discussion on Princess Protection Program. Again, our apologies for misgendering Demi Lovato. We do respect them and their pronouns, and as we move forward with the Disney Channel original movies, we will be using the correct pronouns for them. With that being said, if you want to join in the discussion, please feel free to give us an email. Let us know your thoughts on this movie or ask us any questions. You can find us at watchingwfriendspod@gmail.com. And then you can also find us on Instagram, which is Watching with Friends. And with that being said, we will see you all for the next movie. If you are watching along with us, that will be the Even Stevens movie. I hope you all have a great day and thanks for listening. Bye. Hey, oh.